Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I think I'll put the title of the message on the board. Title is As the Heart Panteth. I'm sorry? P-A-N-T-E-T-H. Well, that is all your prayers. This past week, at some point, Linda made a comment in a conversation. She made a comment about how thankful she was that she had God to go to. And I thought a little bit about that, and I am too. When things get going in my life, just the normal routines of life and things happen, As we all do, we just try to go through life and we try to fix things as we go and we try to deal with life, but it gets too big for us. It can quickly get out of hand and get too big, and I'm always glad when I can say, but there's God. No matter what the situation is that I can come to the end of it and say, I know God is. I know God's in control. I know that He's there in our lives. And if we're to have peace in this life, I believe it's a must that we come to the place that we know it's well. If you can't believe that it's okay, it's got to be okay. Now, understand, we can't allow the circumstances of life to be what we go by. To have peace, I can't have everything right. I will never have much peace in my life if every circumstance has to be right to have peace. I just need to know that it's okay, that things will be right. That God, the God that loves me, the God that died, the Jesus that died for me, the God that loves me more than anything else is in control of it all, is what I have to have. Because if I just wait for circumstances of life to be right, I'm not going to have much peace in my life because they're not always going to be right. And what I find is just as soon as one situation rights itself, or God blesses, however you want to say it, or I don't have the issue in my life, there's going to be another one. And then when that one seems to be okay, there's another one. And many times it's not just another one, but it's a series of another ones. It's a series of things that happens, and you say, but this is here and this is here, and physically I'm not doing well, and this is not doing well, and so I don't have peace because I'm disrupted with all of these things in my life. But there's one thing that we need, no matter what that is going on in our life, to know that it's okay. We really need to know that no matter what, it's all right. And we all here are, at least was, I think, familiar with the story of Horatio Spafford, who wrote the song "As Well with My Soul," and the troubles and everything that he had, the mental anguish that he must have had. For any of us that's been in those kind of places, that understand the loss of substance, the loss of things that you've worked for and put your heart and mind into, and he lost his properties and with a fire and all of those things that was troubling to him. If I'm not mistaken, I think he had lost a son before that. That the terror of that, the heartache of that would be overwhelming to the mind many times, and the loss of energy and effort that you put into things, and to think that many times that we set our future by what we do, and we work hard to get our future, and you know those things, and you anticipate what this is going to do for you in the long run, and then something happens and it's all gone, and there's a loss there with that. And then in his life he comes to the point that he lost his daughters, drowned, and you know the story. But beyond all of that, he was able to look and say, "It's well with my soul. It's okay in the long run." We all need something in our lives that says that it's okay. And the Lord has come to make a place for us to run to. I don't suppose that I could tell you. I wish I could tell you better today. And maybe I'll tell you better later. But I don't live in the place. I run to the place. I find life's activities draws me from the place and puts me in the place. When I'm active in doing things, when I have things and own things and all that, I don't live in the place like that. Things happen and I find myself saying, I need something. I need something to tell me that there's something. We live in a world. We do things and all those kind of things. We are subject to the world around us. If the economy of the United States falls, we'll all feel it. If things change around us in our moral standings as a society, we'll feel it. We all care about it, is what I'm saying. We all have a sense of loss because of things. You understand what I'm saying? But the Lord has stretched out his arms and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That is an invitation, I think, on a daily basis. I think it's a life thing. Yeah, I've come to the Lord. But I think there's an invitation there that I want you to come to me. I won't always change the circumstances, but I will always allow you to know it's okay. You can have something that makes it okay. And so when we go through those things, I had a few episodes physically, and still ain't, I still have my times, but I had a few times this last week of a little extra of physical problems. And I mentioned that to one of my friends overseas, and they were very upset by it. It seems like they value me, obviously, because they didn't want me to suffer any loss, or they didn't want me to leave. And they was bothered by the fact that I had told them I'd had these physical problems. And my answer back to them was, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And if the Lord takes me out tonight, it's okay. And I was serious in saying it. It's okay. The Lord has helped me. It's okay. And there is a place there that there's all these things, but it's got to be okay. We all long, we all want to be happy. The only way to be happy is to know that it's okay. You won't be happy if you don't know that it's okay. There's a place to run. There is a place to hide. There is a place that you and I can go to that is, we're protected. We've got to know that it's protected. I'm going to leave this world. I know that. It's got to be okay. I know that there's heartaches in this life. I've got to be okay in the middle of it. Am I going to lose my mind? No. It's okay. I know that there's things that's bigger than me. Do I have a resource to give me strength
in things that's bigger than me.
Yes. There's got to be a place. Well, the title of the message today is, if I got it right, As the Heart Panteth. It's found in the 42nd Psalm. That heart is not got an E in it. It's H-A-R-T. It's another word for deer. As the deer panteth. I've always seen that scripture, and it's accurate, for the idea of what it's like to be thirsty. This goes on, the scripture goes on, says, I'll read it, 42 and 1 of Psalms says, As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The idea, of course, on the surface of this, it would be the idea that a deer, that animals need water, and in a dry, barren land, you're out. I've done it many times. I know the feeling of this very strongly. You used to work in surveying, and we'd go out into the mountains and be out there all day where there was no water coming out or nothing, and water jugs would be in the truck, and we'd be out all day without water and working in the hot summertime and coming back. And after a while, I'm going to tell you, after a while, the thirst would get to the point that it was almost all you could think about. And we live in the land of water around here. I mean, you know, West Virginia is like water coming out of the mountains. You know, I mean, it's water. You know, there's wells, there's water. I mean, don't go long without water around here. We're not in the barren land. But if you was and you went a little while without water, you'd really, really understand this aspect of that. And I have, and I want to say, it's about all you think about. And to think about what this is capturing That's the heart panteth, though, adds a little bit more to it. I want to look into it a little bit deeper, a little bit more idea of it in there. But it is idea of, on the surface anyway, of me thinking about, I really need a drink. I'm thirsting for God. A passion, a desire, a longing, a need, a want. But it goes a little farther, actually, when you get this. And I remember this pretty vividly over in home, Webster County, one time. There was a deer that the dogs got to chasing. The enemy's after us. The enemy, the hounds was on the trail of this deer. It was a little 8-point. And the deer was run to the point that it couldn't hardly go. Its tongue was hanging out. And it did the only thing left. It had no more strength to run. It needed a refuge. So the deer went and got in the middle, right out into the middle of the water. And it got standing right out there. And the dogs was on the bank, but the deer run. The deer run, and there is reports, this is I believe described by Adam Clark, that places where deer was known to be chased like that, and as a last, they'll run when they run. They'll run when they can run. You and I live life like that. I'll stay out of things and stay away from my own energies, my own strengths. I'll do what my decisions will keep me away from things, and there'll be times that there's nothing left but a refuge somewhere. And as the deer panteth for the water brooks, a safety. What the idea, the deeper idea of this is not just to drink. You need drink, refreshing, but it is to get into a place to, I can't be harmed. I got a safe place. And deer don't climb trees. They don't go in holes in the ground. They run themselves out, but there is known to them a place that they can go to where the hounds can't get them. And they've actually been known, according to Adam Clark's thing, they've actually been known to go to the water brooks and get down and only leave their nose sticking out and go down the rivers. And not try to get on the edges to where the hounds can smell them. We're talking about wild dogs, of course, and things that would be after them. But they long for a security. Don't you long for something secure? I want to be secure. It's what brings, it's what makes me to be peaceful, is for me to know that it's all well. When I can know that I'm in God and all's well, that is the best place for me to go. There is an invitation today from the Lord to make Him the refuge of life. The hounds are going to chase you. Circumstances are going to get you down. There's going to be loved ones that's going to hurt, and all these things are going to happen. There is a only place that we can really find to where the hounds can't get me is right in the middle of God. I can go and be right in the middle of the Lord and know, even if the storms rage and they're going to rip and tear, and when it gets through, the building might be torn around and I'll be sitting cross-legged here in the middle of the floor, but it's going to be okay with me. Because God is our strength and our refuge. And as the heart panteth after the water brooks, as it longs to have security in our life, I want to know that it's all right. The only way that I can know that it's all right is to know it's in God. You know, I've always kind of been a worrier. I can just tell on myself because it's just that way. Just always have been. Linda and the girls went to town the other day. She came in and said something about her going to town. Going to Elkins. And I said, yeah, it's fine with me. I'm going to walk around here doing this. They went to town. Well, I want to make sure I say this right. But they told, I was under the impression that they should be home by 5, okay? So that's what I assumed. Everything's fine. Well, listen, my wife and my girls is pretty important to me. As a matter of fact, they get way up there on the importance scale, right? And so I'm expecting it to be home by 5 o'clock. Well, all of a sudden it's almost 5 o'clock, and I'm thinking, I know they have to be here by 5 o'clock, so it's almost 5 o'clock. And all of a sudden, the ding of the 5 happens, and they ain't here. First thing I thought of is, what if I had car trouble? Worse than that, what if I had an accident? Well, they'll be here in just a minute. I'm looking, not, they don't even, 5 after? Uh-oh. Now I know something happened. Then by 15, I'm just sure of it. Then by what? 5:34, I think, before the car actually came. But I'm saying, my boy's worried. I had that in there. I wanted something. You know what's always the place to go? God. Then I start having to deal with, I don't know what it is, but I know this, you're God. And it's impossible that you would let something happen that's not good for us. I have to have faith in God. I have to run to the middle of the stream when the dogs are after me. I've got to go in a place that is security. And to come to find out it wasn't a car failure and it wasn't an accident. It was just goodwill, which is fine. But God is the place to where we run. You know what? I know reality ain't the same as imagination, but boy, imagination can get you going. I need somewhere to run when my imagination takes charge. When things are, I have needs in my life. There is a place for me. I am so glad for the place to run. As the deer panteth, as he knows where to go. The Lord wants to invite us today and ingrain this into us. Run to me. When you need something in your life, or when the world looks like it's falling to pieces, there's a place in the middle of the stream for you. There's a place in God for you that you can run to, that you can be secured in. And you know, one of the greatest witnesses of Christianity is the witness of being secure in the middle of the storm. One of the best witnesses of Christianity is for somebody to have something when the building's falling down. When there is a secure in a place, we all still look at it and say, what a magnificent testimony of Horatio Spafford that looked down into the cold Atlantic waters and said, it's well with my soul. In the middle of that, to have some place to go to recognize the value of something beyond this life, to know that there is a God in heaven that works, and to say, God is on my side. And I know that it looks a certain way, but it's well with my soul. God is taking care of this situation. And he always stands there ready. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Very familiar scripture over in the 15th chapter of Luke. A story Jesus tells. He says in the 11th verse that a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided into them his living. And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know, here was a story of a young man, as many young men will be, young people will be, that looked and longed for something. I'm going to tell you, the father never forgot this young man. It is the beauty of the gospel story that God does not forget the young man. He loved him and looked for him. Now, in these passages of scriptures, just before that, the woman loses a coin and she sweeps for it. There was a lost sheep that the shepherd went and got. But in this passage, the father waited. There was a refuge. There's still one offered. To every one of us, there is a refuge, a place of safety that is in God, that God does not move. He stays there with the invitation that you can come to this place. But what a beautiful story. But as people will sometimes, I think this story, if you'll give me the liberty of my own mind of it, I think this story is a story about a young man that probably looked at, wanted more, did not see the value of what he had, and looked for more and looked for more, and got tantalized by the caravans that come by, and the wares that they were selling, and the far distant lights of the city, and the idea of excitement, and want to live life. Don't we all? It's what pulls us to everything. I mean, we're tempted by things because we want to experience life. We want to have fun. We want to enjoy life. Of course, I want to hear a song that moves me. I want to hear the tunes, the beats. I mean, everybody wants to do things of life, and no doubt the young man wanted to experience life, and so he forsakes what he has and seeks after something that looks like it's going to do it for him. Give me that which I have, because who can do it without money? Give me my money. Go and do it. I don't know what he thought, that it was going to last forever, he'd make good investments or what, or if he just looked for the moment. But the young man, he takes off, But I want to tell you, the world's got teeth in it. The world's got heartache in it. All of these things that's away from God, they all will get you. Somewhere along the line, there is something in there that's going to corrupt. It's going to run down. It's going to start to destroy. This young man found that out, and he went down, and there isn't anything in here glorifying the things that he went and done. It doesn't even give an example of them. You and I know what in our modern world what that would be like to go and do. Maybe a little drinking, maybe a little dancing, maybe a little nightlife, maybe a little things of tantalize the flesh. I don't know, but the man, he went and done it and he spent his money. But the hounds was after him too. He was getting nipped at, he's getting bit at, things are starting to happen there in his life. And after a while, famine always does. Famine hits in his life. Famine of satisfaction, and done that and didn't do what I thought it'd do, and it only lasted for a little while, and I want to try to get more of it and more of it, and I want to do more, and it doesn't work and it doesn't last, and after a while, what is there? Nothing much left, and he run out of substance, and now he's in famine, and he would have eat the hog's food, but they wouldn't give it to him. But he says, I know what I'll do. He came to himself and realized that there's a place right there in the middle of the water brook. There is a place that the dogs can't clip at my heels anymore. There's a place there that all of these things that's bothered my life, that's tormented my mind, that does these things. There's a place to where I can go to that I'm not going to be eat up. Does it mean that I won't have troubles? Oh, I'm going to tell you, there is no promise in the good book that tells you you won't have trouble. You'll have trouble. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have trouble, but you also have the one that can take care of the trouble. You can have the one that can give you grace over the trouble, that can give you strength over the trouble, that will, right in the middle of the trouble, will make your mind right. And you can say, it's well right here in the middle of this trouble, and I know the end of this is going to end well. Because I got a promise, not of not having trouble, but that the end of the thing will be well. And I run to that place. And so the young man here in this story of Jesus says that when he came to himself, he said, my father's house, they got more there. What made him think that he could go back? Something did. Oh, he said, I'll just go back in his humility. I'll just go back as a servant. That was good that he felt that way. I'll go back that way. But I want to tell you, this man needed peace in his life. He needed a secure place. He was never going to be happy knowing I may starve to death tomorrow. I don't have any hope here. And so he made his journey back towards the Father. I love the story because I got a vision. It's still in my mind. Of a rise and a long twisting dirt road down the valley, and of a father standing looking down that long twisted road, way down the road, and the father sees an image coming after a long, long time. This wasn't the first day that the father stood out there, you give me liberty for my own story, my own vision. But in my mind, the father's been standing there many days, looking down a long, long, twisted dirt road, looking, because that's the road that the son went down. And if he comes back, he's going to be coming back that road. Because the scripture says, you read it, that when he was yet a long ways off, his father came to greet him. It's because he was looking for him. And he looked and saw his son coming, and it was a welcome, son. Come back. He says, I'll come back. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. No, forget that stuff. Son, here, come back. You're my son. Get the robe. Kill the fatted calf. My son that was lost, that was running out there, and the dogs were nipping at him. He finally made it back to the water brook. The longing of our heart and soul ought to always be God. It's an invitation that he's gave us. Do you know, I think Brother Mansell used to say this a lot about living on short rations. I think that's true. I think it takes us too long to get to the water brook sometimes. I think sometimes we want to do it somehow for ourselves, and we don't really understand that God is our refuge. That there's a place there. It doesn't mean that the dogs ain't still on the bank, folks. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be there. But there is a place out there, there is a place in God that we won't be tormented by it. It is well. It is well with my soul. Another passage of Scripture is in the 6th chapter of John, St. John. This is, let's see. I'll pick it up at 61st verse. No, I want to read just a little bit back. 53 maybe. When Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink the blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So here is a situation to where these people had listened and heard and saw the miracles and all those things, but come to a point that there was something there that they wasn't willing to face. There wasn't willing to go through. I'm going to tell you, there won't be any peace in that. Jesus says to the disciples, are you going to also go away like they did? Are you going to leave also? And Peter, with this understanding, said, where would we go? A deer don't climb a tree and it don't go in a hole. There's no place. But he longs for the security. He longs for the safety. There is something. I long for it in this life. I believe that the Lord wants us to have a good life. I think the Lord is doing his best to get us to heaven, but he wants us to be happy here, happy pilgrims. He wants us to enjoy the life that he made. Of course, he loves us. He cares for us. He gives good gifts to us. But it isn't the most important. He wants us to be right in our souls. Peter says, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you come and say, this eternal life is going to cost you suffering here, that's what I want. I want my eternal life. I want to know that it's well with me. I want to know, when I feel those pains that I can't explain, or the dizziness in my head, or whatever it is, I want to know it's well with my soul. I want to know that death don't win. Death can't win this. I got to know that I'm okay. This is the bottom line. As a heart panteth for the water brooks. We hear on a regular basis the car wreck that took the young person out. The cancer that just took the person out. Just had another report today. Somebody passed away today. We hear those reports regularly. And death seems to win. It's going to win to this body. It's going to win. But Jesus has promised us something. Death don't win this. He got the victory over death. And so there is a place for us to know. I can live peacefully and happily with the situations of my life because I know that beyond this life, there's victory. I know that it's okay. It's secure. I don't have to wonder about all this other stuff going on to this. God is in control. He is in control of these things. If we have, I'm going to tell you, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. You know why? Because that hope's going to give up one day. It's not just in this life that we're to have a good life. I am thankful God gave me such a good life. And I recognize it more and more and more as I deal with people around the world of how blessed we are. If you ever get to thinking like murmuring or complaining or feel like you've got a bad life, just come to me and I'll let you meet some people and I'll challenge you to what real bad life is. Because here is good life. We have a remarkable, unbelievable life here that the Lord's blessed us with. But it's going to end sometime. We're going to not be able to sustain that. And these bodies are going to give up. And when that happens to each and every one of us, I want you to know that we need to long or pant after that water brook, after that place that is secured, that nothing can get me. It is refreshing to the soul. It's a valuable place to the soul. I am so thankful that the Lord is something I tell people I deal with a lot. God's real. Make God real. God's real, but He might not be real to me. Understand what I'm saying? I need to make God real to me. When I make these statements about God, they have to be real. I have to mean that and apply it to my life. God can take care of that, I'll say to somebody. But then I don't live like God can take care of that. Or I'll say, God is awesome and He can. But then I don't really incorporate that into my life. God is real and it is to be real in our lives. God knows what He's doing. I don't know what the years may hold. But I'm still going to suspect that the time that we're living is pretty self-evident to where we're going. We need to long for God. In the safety of God and that place to where there is a scripture, and I don't have it right on my thinking where it's at now. But there's a scripture that says that even the eagle's eye, and it's talking about the buzzards there, the vultures. And it says that there's a place, there's a path, there's a place that even the vulture's eyes can't see. You know where that's at? That's right in the middle of God. The devil, the vultures, those bad spirits, the spirits of this world, all of those things that's out to peck and to act to get, there is a place that he does not go. He cannot understand. And that is when we have put ourselves right in the middle of God. And then that is a very secure place. I thank God today because it is my, like I said, I don't live there. I wish I lived there better. But I am so glad that when everything seems to be going, that I know there's a place. I know there's a place that God secures me in. And when I find myself completely, I'm going to say this to your encouragement, when I find myself completely wrung out, when I go and pour my heart out to God, I never get up like I get down. Never. It is always different when I've met God at one of those places. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.